You're listening to Type Radio. My name is Katrin.
My name is Adrian
of Pixelgarten.
Now we are talking.
You're listening to Type Radio. My name is Donald.
I'm Lisa.
We're at the 20 plus X conference in Munich, Germany. It's April 15th and our guests are Pixelgarten. Welcome.
Do you have rituals?
Do we have rituals? No, I don't think so. We often get asked when you come to the studio if we have a certain day routine or something like that, but it doesn't really exist. It's like every day is different.
Yeah, that's something we like a lot about our work.
That's also with our projects. They're not always the same. You cannot have a recipe how to handle a client or how to handle a project. It's every new project is different, and we are always learning. With every project we take on, we learn a lot of new things.
And do you like to do commissioned work more, or do you like to do self-initiated work, or do you need to do both?
Both. But we enjoy doing both. I think it's to do good design work on yourself, self-initiated, isn't so hard. It's more hard if you have the process with a client who is also, who has his wishes and who's talking in your design, and to make something good with a client is more hard than on yourself.
But it also, it sort of depends on the kind of client, if they're really willing to sort of give you a voice and really. Otherwise, there is a danger, of course, that you're being asked to do the trick over and over and over again.
Like, but it's we enjoy this process of also communicating. And if it doesn't work, we found out that we cannot work well with a certain advertising agency or advertising projects that wanted to, kind of remote control us and say, oh, you have to move this 2 millimeters more left or make this green or something like that. This doesn't work with us. And one project we said we have to stop, we cannot do this anymore. And we paid back half of the money.
So, how do you collaborate together? Like, is there certain things that you prefer to do as opposed to?
It's more like we always say it's more like a ping pong. Like one says something and the other thinks that, and it develops. It's not that like he's always drawing or I'm always doing this. It really depends, and sometimes it's also like a little pitch between us two, and yeah.
So are you competitive?
Yes.
Yeah.
We also argue a lot.
And doesn't your relationship, because you have a relationship as well, doesn't that get in the way sometimes of the work? Don't you feel like you need more distance?
No, it's very peaceful at home because you don't have to argue about the things anymore. If you have argued the whole day in the office, then it's quite peaceful at home. But it's just work stuff. And we always say it's just graphic design. So if you go home, everything is okay then.
And how did you start working together? I mean, was it first love and then work, or work and then love?
First love and then work.
We helped each other's.
Yeah. Adrian, he was more doing graphic design first, and I was more in the free art department of the school, and then he kind of took me over through this graphic design thing, and then we also showed the first project we have worked together in our lecture. It was for Nippon Connection, which is a Japanese film festival in Frankfurt. And this was the first project we collaborated, the first graphic design project. Before, we have helped each other with the work.
And also, you coming from two different disciplines, is that also the reason that you need to sort of switch between art and photography and illustration and design? You're not really, it's very hard to pinpoint your work.
Yeah, we cannot decide what to answer, and we want to do everything. we want to do our own projects and also do our exhibitions, but also do the graphic design work and illustration work, which kind of also combines the other way. So if we do illustrations for magazines, it's always these photographic illustrations and installations. But we also very much enjoy doing books. Yeah, quite passionate about that.
For example, there's been a lot of designers that have been inspired by your work. How does that make you feel in the sense like that you have to reinvent yourself, or does it, is that strange to see?
That's strange to hear that we have influenced other designers. But we also want to develop further, and now we have shown in the lecture, we're doing quite a lot of graphic design for exhibitions these days, and this is also working with the room and working with putting a graphic design in a three-dimensional space, but in another way. Yeah, that's something that's quite our thing at the moment. Yeah, but we don't want to stop and do those colorful, handy things forever. We also want to go on with our work.
And where do you think it'll develop into, or do you have no idea?
That's hard to say. Yeah. It's just influences you. You get inspirations, and then you start working and start experimenting. And at the moment, we also enjoy collaborating with product designers a lot, which is because they have a totally different way of working, a totally different thing to graphic design or illustration. And I think it can be quite interesting to mix both positions.
You have a strong connection with Japan in your work. Is that a coincidence, or really did you?
That's, yeah, kind of a coincidence, but we really are big fans of Japan and enjoy being there. And we had the chance to go there and work there, and that was great, great experience. Even if we haven't seen a lot of Tokyo, we went there for 6 days and 5.5 days we had to work.
So you didn't get a chance to see the country?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I was there before. I was there for 2 weeks in Tokyo with a friend of mine, and so I knew the city already, but I wanted to show him the city, and we didn't have a real chance to go around, and yeah, so we have to go there again if the situation hopefully gets better there.
And do you get your inspiration from the same sources? Because I'm also asking because, you know, in the 80s in Holland there was this movement like Studio Dambar and also Hard Werken for studios who really did stage photography. Mm-hmm. It's similar in the way you do it now, differently of course, but
yeah.
You know, photograph like flat mm-hmm. objects and putting them in space and then photographing that again.
Yeah, yeah. And
were you familiar with their work?
No, not. But there were all your works like in the Bauhaus area. Area? No.
Yeah. Era.
That's the word. They also worked like that, but even more earlier, like with still life painting, that's something that's actually the same, but without photography. And we're also fans of those, I don't know the English word, maybe it's the same as in German, Wunderkammer, those cabinets where they had the early forms of museums.
So then working on exhibitions is almost the ideal project, no?
I yeah.
Mean, yeah, it all comes together to the
yeah, but it's also how you transport information. So like we had shown this project for a geology exhibition, which we had to deal with scientists, and they gave us their text, and for them everything is clear. They know the text, they know everything about their subject. But if you read it, if you don't know anything about it, then there are certain things you don't understand, and we have to do this translation so the people that visit this exhibition, they can understand the topic and the subjects.
You did the Diesel Wall in Berlin Mitte.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why the Jackson 5? I was really curious about that.
In German, the subtitle was Temporäres Denkmal für 5 Medienleichen. Because the Jacksons, they disappear, then they reappear, then they disappear, then they reappear. And we wanted to have a monument for them. Yeah, a temporary monument for 5 Medienleichen. I don't know how to translate that. Yeah, yeah. In German you say Medienleiche if somebody, if there's a long time you don't hear about the person, and then he comes back or something. Yeah, that's why we picked the Jacksons. And also because I think they're the most sampled band of the world, and the type of this drawing is also like sampling, because it's made of, we plan to make it of electric cable, But then they had to use 1.5 kilometers of electric cable for that, and this would have been too heavy for the wall. The wall would have come down then. And so we had to use a cable canal, you know, this where you put the cables in, those plastic tubes. And we had 18 different lengths of it, and so it was like putting Lego together. And it's like a pixel drawing, and the pixel length and width is 18 centimeters. It's quite a big drawing. And when we saw this wall, there's a light box in the below area of an Indian restaurant that is there, just a commercial light box. And we wanted to plug our cable in this light box and get the electricity from that, because the eyes of the Jacksons, they are also light boxes. And the drawing is made just to put electric in the light boxes.
Is this your most memorable project, or which one is for you your favorite project so far that you've worked on together?
That's hard to say, they're all so different. Yeah. But this was also a very special moment to see it on this wall, yeah, and to see how they were mounting it. They had those lifters, electric lifters, because the wall is very, very large if you see it in real life. But what was also great working in Japan, that was also quite memorable. Yeah, there are a lot of projects we have enjoyed, and we are also quite thankful that we had the chance to do them. So,
was es nicht geht? Mm-hmm. What it's not about, the project. Mm-hmm. Is that because you didn't really know a good name for it?
No, it makes sense, because it's in these images, it's always the moment that it's actually not about. Like when you see this comic explosion, there's no reason why it's exploding, and there's no...
it's no cause, it's no only the effect.
Yeah. And also there's this wooden comic panel where you can only see the sounds, but you cannot see what's actually happening there. So it's what it's not about. Or the portrait, this one of Adrian. We also did a theory work. It was also about still life and things. And what he has in his face, those paper things, that's what we cut off from the book we did. So the cut off, yeah. So what it's not about, the piece that it's about, the content that was in the book, but that's just what fell off.
Oh, that's very
them.
Nice. Yeah. So. And your portrait?
Mine is with a Wilm face. Yeah, that's actually the person
sweater.
But the person is removed, so the actual function of a portrait is not there anymore. Before we started with that work, we made rules how to work. We said it was just our room where we work in, and we just use the material that is already in this room. We don't buy anything for it. And every day we do a picture, and we finish with our day if the picture is done. And so we did those 11 pictures in 11 days.
Do you give workshops also? I mean, this would be a nice project also.
Yeah, we have done in the last... yes, we have done some workshops. And we also really enjoy that, working with the students.
What is an advice that you give to students, for example?
It's hard. What we often get asked is, because our diploma is like 3 years ago, they ask how we started. So we tell them, but we also tell them that there is no recipe, and that maybe for us it was, well, just the decision, because we wanted to work in our own way, and there was no agency where we could see ourselves in. And we wanted to be the ones to decide how we work and what we do. And so we just, after the diploma, we started to work right away. And it was also 1 week after the diploma, we already had the cover for the tactile book as a project, and then it just went on.
That's the Gestalten book,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. I think what afterwards was very good, that we studied quite a long time. Our parents, they were desperately wanting us to finish. Yeah, but while studying, we always took on jobs. Yeah, collected this practical experience, which was very helpful, because normally if you have your diploma, there's quite some time. If you start your own business, it takes time. But since we started before, that was a good preparation of then founding our own studio.
And you studied art and you studied design?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you could mix that. And we studied in Offenbach, and Offenbach is developed from the Bauhaus concept of studying, so it's quite interdisciplinary. Mm-hmm. So you can mix all those disciplines. You can do painting and graphic design, which for us was very good because we could make a new combination of like doing like installations and but doing graphic design. So it was doing graphic installations then. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But before that, were you interested at all in graphic design?
Yes, I was, but at this time there were not so many books around and not so many blogs and not so many influences, so it was quite hard to know what contemporary graphic designers do. And we had a very old typographic professor who he knew all the old typographers, and his name is Friedrich Friedel. And yeah, so it was more the old school people we knew and we were interested about. And, but I'm still a bad typographer, I think. But it's maybe sometimes it's he's a good typographer. But maybe it's sometimes good to make things broken or make things not right, to find some new ways of doing it. That's also something Niklas Tochler said. He said it's not always the perfection that is important.
It's funny because we just interviewed Stefan Claudius and he said the same thing. His, mm-hmm. his font foundry Cape Arcona is also mm-hmm. making typefaces that are sort of imperfect, but mm-hmm. they're really well made and really mm-hmm. well done. But
yeah.
the imperfection makes it its attractions, and mm-hmm. it's really fun to look at because it's not really perfect and not really...
Yeah, that's something that interests us too. We also like to leave like the transparent strings, yeah, in our images, mm-hmm. so you can see how it's made. Or we mm-hmm. we also like to have persons in the image, so you can see it was really really built. But a lot of clients they want those things to help remove them, and so the afterwards the image looks so perfect that you could have done it in Photoshop. But that is something that we don't want. We want this part of imperfection in our images.
And what happens to the set afterwards? I mean, do you try and keep something or do you just tear everything down?
We kept some things, but our studio is so stuffed. It's not possible to keep all those things.
It would be nice to see photographs of it after it's all...
And they are always quite, for those photographs or photographic installations, we call illustrations, like we call them, they are always also quite improvised. And so they are not made to stay there for a long time. It's taking this photo and then they are removed.
This is really capturing the moment, and then afterwards it's just the image that's left of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we also use the photography to... because we want to say from which perspective you're looking at it. So we want to freeze the perspective. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Radio. 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 Radio.